Welcome to Wellness Radio with Dr. Jeanette Gallagher as your host. Her show discusses topics of health, wellness, and spirituality and is about discovering your place in this great universe from your cells to the cosmos. Along with her guest, in casual conversation, she strives to ask the difficult questions that may be holding you back from a vibrant life and shares new ideas that may inspire you to make a change in your life that you only can see in your dreams. And now, here is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Wellness Radio. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and it's a pleasure to have you with us here this evening. Tonight, we are going to have a great conversation with my guest, Michelle Pariza-Wasik. Her book is It Began With a Lie, a Secrets of Redemption novel. Yes, we like to be able to breathe sometimes and sit back and read a story, sit back and read a novel, a mystery, suspense. Is it reality or is it an illusion? What is it really all about? I love these kinds of stories because it just takes my mind away from every day of speaking to clients on end of life or maybe doing the spiritual path or doing some hypnosis, and I just need a break. And then I go and pick up this novel by Michelle, and it's like, well, I guess we could see how it can play out in the story too. So it's really all about what our stories are out there, how we'd like to share them, and how we can see that everything in our world fits together. And, you know, just tell your story. Michelle, thank you so much for joining us today. It's such a pleasure to have you with us.
Well, thank you for having me. I'm really excited to be here.
So, Michelle, don't you think that sometimes what is life, reality or illusion, and is there really any difference, right?
Yeah, you know, all of my books kind of share that same theme, which is that whole idea, like what's true, what isn't true, or things are never as they seem. Because that's the thing, you know, things, regardless if you, are interested in ghosts or whatever, you know, there is always like things really are never as they seem. People are never as they seem. You know, what's underneath right. The surface is always different.
You know, I had a lot of friends, and they said, I would love to write a book, but people would never believe the stories that I tell. And I always say to them, write a novel, you know, put it in a different way. I even had a guest on the show, and she wrote the story in a fable, you know, and it was just take your story to be able to get it out there and embellish it if you wish and make it all different and put all of those little flowery words that you wanted to use or maybe make it a little more exciting, how you thought maybe you lived through life. And it's really just about sharing the adventure, right?
Exactly. Well, that's what I love about fiction, because I write actually both fiction and nonfiction. And so with nonfiction, you know, obviously it can be more straightforward, but fiction allows us to, we still talk about the same issues, we just do it in a completely different way. So, like, you know, you might have a self-development book about people who are draining in your life, and then but then if you look at it from a fiction standpoint, it's a book about vampires. So, or things that keep, like, you know, if we're stuck in life, you know, things keep repeating themselves or we're not able to move on in life. You know, that could be one kind of self-development book, but then, you know, maybe it's a zombie book. So
everything.
So that's how it kind of, I see how it kind of asserts itself.
You know, a lot of people with these spiritual awakenings these days, and they're saying, I'm seeing a lot of people walking around my house. I saw a black shadow the other day, you know, or I promise you someone was talking to me in my kitchen. And, you know, a lot of times people are so afraid to be able to be vulnerable, to share that those things, you know, that now the veil is thinning so much, we're starting to say, whoa, what is really going on out there, yes?
Right. Yeah, exactly. So I do think that's a part of it, is that fiction is a way of, well, fiction is almost like a way that we can emotionally get a sense of what's happening. So it's almost providing an emotional structure.
Right, and isn't that great to have that release? I mean, sometimes people get so stuck in this rigid world, it's sort of like, my gosh, if I just don't speak it out, they're going to think I'm crazy, and I just got to release it. So I think it's a great story. Your book, It Began With a Lie, and I'll tell you, I started reading it yesterday, and then I only got about a third of the way through, and I said, okay, I'm tired, I need to go to sleep, because I read 7 books yesterday, and I got up at 4 this morning and started to read it, and it was like, oh my gosh, you know? And I think it was a great story because it draws you in to where you almost feel like you're part of the story. You could almost see yourself as one of the characters. And when that happens, it really makes the story unfold, but you don't know what the next page is going to be, yes?
Yeah. Well, thank you. That really means a lot that you got that that experience with it. So I really appreciate that.
Yeah, but I think this was a great story, yes? I mean, it's like, where does it really come from? And, you know, when you share the story of your main character and she looks back to her, she goes back to her aunt's home, and it's just, what have we really hidden in our memories and in our dreams, and how do we bring that forth? Yes?
Yes, it takes place in a haunted house, but maybe it's not haunted. So
everybody's house is haunted anymore if you pay attention.
So I try to play all of those things. Like the town is kind of a creepy little town that's kind of
right.
A Twin Peaks inspired in the house. And again, yes, and that's exactly what I was playing back on, like going back, you know, how do you return back to your family, what, you know, the ghosts that are there. So, it's all stuff that happens and we kind of experience in our life, but then fiction allows us to present it in a way that we don't, that almost makes it more accessible to our subconscious in some ways.
But your book didn't go off the edge, like, and create a scenario of a time and place where we might not have understood it, where we might have had to conjure up an idea or an imagination. It was really almost in present day. So by keeping it in present day, but going in back into the past with these new ideas, it really draws you in because, like I said, you could almost have that conversation with anyone today.
Right. Yeah. I didn't think of it that way. That's really fascinating. But you're right. That does make it more. That does put a different spin on it. I never occurred to me until you said that.
Well, you know, I live in New Orleans, so the idea of witches and hauntedness is all around us. And we think of it all the time. We don't even, you know, it's like no big deal to us, you know. Everybody's house is haunted. Yeah, it's okay, you know, just say hi to Mabel when you come in the house and you'll be okay. So I think it's not that far-fetched for us.
Right. Yeah, I love that you are from New Orleans because I think you're right. That you know, I think there are areas in the country where people are more open to this. But, you know, I will tell you, one of the things that I do that's on the blog is I also started ghost hunting. And
yeah.
I created a character, Riley Longhill. She's a fictionalized version of me, my fictionalized alter ego. And I'm going to real-life haunted places and then fictionalizing it. So it's interesting because since I started doing that, it has been amazing to me what people have shared with me. I mean, just out of the blue, people's
right.
stories about have shared to me about their haunted stories. So it's been really fascinating.
You know, it's the funniest thing, too, and it's always about past lives, too. I think a lot of people are doing more exploration into their past lives through hypnosis or just deja vu or whatever it might be. I can remember I was in the French Quarter about maybe 3 or 4 years ago, and I was walking to the gem store. And in the French Quarter in New Orleans, you walk in the middle of the street. There's no cars on the street at the time. So I was walking down the cobblestones, which are still there, and there was no one on either side. It was only like a block long the street. And I remember hearing clip-clop behind me, you know, like horses' hoofs. And I turned around, no one was behind me, because there are horses that go along the street there, and you hear them all the time. And I kept hearing it. And I just closed my eyes for half a second, and I felt myself as a little black boy running with bread in my hand, and the policeman was in his carriage with his horse behind me, the clip-clop behind me trying to catch me. And so I all of a sudden got really scared and went into the gem store, and the whole time I was hanging on to the counter in the gem store, and I couldn't breathe, and Lisa said, "Are you going to die?" here? She says, do I need to call 911? And I looked at her, up at her, and I said, no. She says, oh, it must be the gems. They just do that to everyone. But I really had a feeling that that's probably what I did when I was the child in there. And I think that's really cool when people start to have more of these memories and they're able to share them more freely. Don't you think that helps to construct stories and helps people be able to feel, hey, you know, it's not so crazy after all, right?
Yeah, exactly. So, and I love that story. And because you're right, I think a lot of people have that kind of stuff. And so the more we talk about it, the more it can be felt like as natural. And so you don't have to feel like you're kind of a freak or whatever.
Right. Yeah. And I think a lot of people have them. And especially, like I said, now that people are doing so much more work with past life regression and things like that. And also, too, I think, you know, your book was really good about sharing a lot of things that, like you talked about the teas. That was really kind of cool, you know. And we think about herbals. A lot of people do a lot of herbals. And what could we think about with herbals? We think about, are they poisoning us? Are they helping us? Can they be a good source or not a good source? And I think you wove that into your book so eloquently. It was nice to see that.
Well, thank you. Yeah, that's part of where I was also trying to go, is sort of bring in some of the almost the older tools that we used to do years ago. You know, the teas,
right.
And the well, and in the next book, I talk about candles too. So bringing some of that ritualistic stuff back into the present, because I do think that something else that's sort of missing in our present time is this area of ritual.
Right. But also to the idea of connection, to connect to something, you know. We're so out there, the only thing we're connected to is our electronic stuff, you know. And people are afraid to have altars anymore. Sometimes you see people and they're putting these gems in their pockets and things like that. So it's starting to come back in different areas. I know for myself, you know, I have gems and I have some nature things that would be pine cones or little piece of pine or whatever it might be, and then to have some candles and then some incense. A lot of times that's normal for me, and a lot of times people say, oh, that seems kind of strange. Is that a little voodoo or hoodoo? And in my area, you know, is it a little conjure too? And I say, no, it's really just, you know, a little connection for me so that I could sit still and be able to connect each day. And I think some people are starting to come to that, yes?
Yes, I totally agree with you.
You know, it's a tough place to be. I think sometimes when we think that our only connection would be, you know, how many likes we get on Facebook, right?
Yeah. I know. I feel like, you know, trying to, you know, turning the phone off, getting away from that and getting back to nature, getting back to some of the ways we used to connect and have ritual in our lives is just so important.
You know, in your book, really, and again, your book is called It Began with a Lie. When you talk in your book, these things that happen to your main character, we would say, oh, my gosh, I would never think of that. But you know what? I wonder if that maybe happened to my cousin or maybe my mother or maybe something similar happened in my family. It's not so far off that it's not conceivable, don't you think?
That's exactly what I try to do, and that's what I also try to do with a lot of my books, is that I do love reading paranormal and even some horror, just as long as the horror doesn't get, you know, gross. I don't like violent, gory horror. You know, I like the scary suspense part of it. But part of what always happens to me sometimes when I read paranormal or horror or urban fantasies, is there's a little voice in the back of my head that's always like, oh, this couldn't happen. Oh, this couldn't happen.
Right.
So what I tried to do is really walk that line where it actually could totally be believable and no matter what. But then it also has that sense of, you know, maybe there isn't, you know, again, you know, things are not as they seem. Maybe there is that little bit of paranormal. Maybe there is that little bit of magic. And so it's still realistic, but it still has that touch of paranormal to it. And I also kind of try to write everything so that it's sort of like a choose your own adventure. Like you can choose your ending. If you're somebody who really doesn't like the paranormal, the whole book is very logical, and you can read the ending as everything happened, you know, everything is a realistic ending. Or if you want to believe in the ghost, you can totally believe the ghost part of it. So, I tried to write it so that you could decide as the reader, you know, which way you wanted it to go.
Right, because on every page is a little bit of everything. In other words, it's almost like if you remember those kids' books. I think my daughter was reading them maybe 10 years ago. I don't know. She's in her 30s now. But it used to be you would pick your path and then create your ending. But really, it's almost what are you focusing on the page that will create your path. In other words, I was really tuned into all of it, actually. But some people will say, well, I was in tune to the real reality of it, what it might have been. But another person might say, I was chose the mystery of it. And another person could choose the paranormal part. So there's almost three lines that are interweaving in this story.
Today we discuss many life-changing concepts. Who do you turn to and how do you know what is best when faced with a health crisis? Dr. Jeanette is a patient advocate. She listens to the patient, the doctors, and the family, clarifies the health issues and concerns, then helps the patient make the best choices going forward. If you would like help implementing change into your life and health, we can talk and see where you are stuck and how to improve the quality of your life. Check the link on the bottom of today's show page or visit drjeanettegallagher.com. to schedule a phone appointment today.
Yeah, and then there was the romance, and there's almost like a somebody else said, which I hadn't really thought about, but almost like a woman's book in there too, because of finding herself and these other pieces. So yeah, so I did do the sort of genre bending, genre mixing, in here.
Right. Yeah, especially when you stick in a rotten 16-year-old stepdaughter, as they might call it. You know, I mean, anytime you stick something like that in there, the adventure can go anywhere, you know. And we all know how those can be. They can be treacherous. They can be devious. They can be mischievous. They could be downright difficult, you know. But and there's a lot of that you don't know. Is it a lie? Is it truth? And especially at that age, do they ever tell you the truth? They never tell you the truth. You can. So it was a great weave in there, yes.
Yeah, I know. You're right. Yeah, that's I wanted to play on that sort of truth and lie. That's why I kind of called it that way as well, because you know, so many things, and that's the thing. So, you know, there is truth, but then so often we put our own perception on it, and then is it true or is it a lie? You know, it's like, I mean, there is a level of truth out there, but then when you put but so often we explain our truth with our own perception. We put our own story on it, and the story itself could be a lie, and we just don't realize it. So that's another thing I was kind of playing around with.
And also, too, the idea you played around with, too, is about the idea of what is our memory and what is not. Is our memory what we think it is? Have we blocked things out? Have we created things to be able to fill in the blanks? Or do we just plain negate the whole thing in the first place and just go on and start a new life, right?
Right. Yeah, exactly. So where is it? And because our memories are very fallible and we don't think they are, but they actually are. And so where, you know, what did happen? What didn't happen?
Right.
So how can we know what the truth is or what's not the truth? So, yeah, that's other things that I also kind of wanted to explore.
Because that really is great in your book, because when you look at what happened in the past, it really takes you through every single page, how you've woven it through. And then you always throw in a little, I was going to say something else, but I'll be nice and I'll say you throw in a man of whatever quality or whatever you want to call them. And it's a very, pretty much anyone could put their own judgment call on what type of person it might be. Or we would say, oh, but you feel so sorry for them. Oh, hey, you finally got that little you-know-what. Or, hey, you know, I never thought that was possible, or, oh my gosh, maybe I should keep my eyes open, type man. And that man was, you know, in your book, you really wove him into so many different types all the way through until it came out what type he really showed his true colors, right?
Right, yes.
Yeah. And, you know, we all know about those men in their true colors. You know, we've all seen them, you know. And if you haven't, well, I don't know where you have been living. You know, as my sister said to me one time, she says, we had such a great childhood. It was idyllic. I said, what house did you grow up in? You know, and so I think the idea of how we put our perceptions on what was going on around us and be able to say, how am I, maybe it's just my engagement with this person. And it was really messed up. Maybe everybody else had a really great engagement with them. And, hey, am I crazy or are you crazy, you know?
Right, exactly. I know. And I think that's – and how much we lie to ourselves, too. So I think that's another piece of it, too, with our perception. Like, what are we – you know, not only what's happening to us, but then what are we denying or pretending or telling us a story that is, you know, to make whatever it is be okay. So that's part of it, too. Like what your sister was saying. Like your sister says, right, an idyllic household, and you – and you're saying, well, you know, what household did you grow up into? And so it's the idea that, you know, maybe she's telling herself a story. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's pretty tough sometimes, I think, when it comes down to it, because we say, you know, I work with a lot of end-of-life clients, and I can't figure out why they're running, or why they have such ingrained fear of every second. And sometimes it's because the truth of their story they're running from, or the secrets that they've held behind, is what they feel they can't share with others before they leave, and then they're really afraid of what God's going to do about and judge them on, you know? And I think sometimes when we say people have had such horrible deaths and they don't want to leave us and they keep coming back as a ghost, you know, that old karma thing everybody says, you know? They keep coming back because they just can't resolve what they needed to in that amount of time. Don't you think a lot of times that's a really great play on area for novels, to be able to say, wow, look at that end of life and how that could go a bazillion different ways, right?
Yes, exactly. Yeah, and I know, and that's the thing, the ghosts of our past. I mean, that's kind of what ghosts sort of represent as well, or something that's haunting you. So, yes, I agree. There's a lot of ways that can go.
Yeah. So, Michelle, do you write other books, too, besides this one?
Yes. So the second book in the series, which is This Happened to Jessica, because it does, while this does complete one of the storylines, or the second storyline that's not complete, that I cover in the second book. And just so you know, I didn't actually write this. I didn't start out writing this book to have it end at this point and then start a second book. Quite honestly, I was going to try and put both storylines in this book. But it got, in the middle of writing it was just getting more and more unruly. I mean, the second book is just as long as this book. So, yeah. And I don't write, you know, there are over 100,000 words. I don't write short books. So, right. So yeah, I was getting very, very unwieldy. And that's when I realized that I really needed to break it apart and put it in separate books. So that's how I kind of came up with the whole series. And then I have two standalone books that I actually wrote over 10 years ago, but I just finally got them published in the last couple of years with Amazon and Kindle. And they're also psychological thrillers, mystery suspense books as well.
Yeah, and I think that's, you know, now that Amazon has come along, you know, almost anyone can put their books out anymore, which is a wonderful thing, because so long ago that wasn't the case, you know. And I think a lot of people have stories in them that they'd love to write and they'd love to read, and that's great. So are they able to purchase both of those older books?
Yep, they're all on Amazon as well. Yes, and the physical books are out too. And so all of it's on my my website, mpwnovels.com. So all four books, links to all four books are there, and you can get them. And then, of course, I'm working on the third book in the series as well. So I'm definitely doing that. So busy with that as well.
Exciting, because I think that once you get started, you just can't stop. You know, it's like, oh, now this, I could do it this way, and then I could do it another way, and you could see the story going further. Are they all very similar characters?
Well, no, I mean, they're similar in the sense that I did make them, you know, all my characters have flaws, so I don't really write perfect characters. So sometimes I can, like, sometimes when I read the reviews, people get really irritated. So The Stolen Twin is actually, that was actually a best, that was a best-selling book, and it's new adult. It's, they're 21-year-olds. They're in college, it takes place. Kit, who's that main character, is a little more sort of nihilistic. And it's other than Becca, who I would say is more of an innocent. So so some people are just like, oh my God, all she does is party all the time. You go look at the reviews, all she does is party all the time, which is true, but it makes sense with the whole setup of the book. Because she's actually sick, so, and nobody knows it, so that's sort of where that comes in. And then the first book I ever wrote with Mirror Image, although I published it second, that character Linda is a little more, she's got some issues. So anyway, that was my first four-way.
Yeah, cool. Well, you know, I think that it's the idea of just being able to engage in a storyline. I'll bet, do you like hole up yourself in the house and be able to have to write, or does it just come so easy? A lot of times people will ask on the radio show, they'll say, well, I wonder how she wrote that book, you know, and I think they're kind of interested in that.
So I try to kind of live in the character. So I do try to do that. And so a lot of that is trying to write, even if it's a little bit every day, because then you can kind of stay in the world. And if you can have one step in the world, then it's a lot easier to write. And I do, I'm very blessed that I get into flow, writing flow very easily. So I am able to step in and write. And in terms of getting into it, you know, like I've got some rituals here, like I use music and other things to kind of get into writing it. I mean, sometimes I get stuck like everybody and then I have to go take a walk or get out. So that's kind of how the big thing I think is to just try to be consistent. The most effective I've been writing a book is just to consistently work on it so that you're at least still connected to the world every single day.
Yeah. It's definitely a world you can get lost in, too, you know. And sometimes when it's almost like you eat, drink, and breathe it, you know, because you want to really stay connected. You know, when you sit down and you're like, ooh, I have that feeling, and you could feel it in your bones, and you start writing it, you know, and it's sort of like someone comes and says, what time is dinner? And it's sort of like, are you seriously kidding me? You know, because you really want to stay in that space. Otherwise, you lose the momentum, don't you think?
Yes, I agree. You want to stay with it because otherwise it takes a lot to, like, if you only try to write once a week, you're going to spend an awful lot of time trying to get yourself reconnected. Whereas if you just write even 15 minutes a day, you can stay that connection.
Yeah. Well, it was really cool. You know, Michelle, it was such a wonderful book. I mean, like I said, I got up at 4 o'clock this morning. My husband says, what are you doing up? It says, I don't know. I'm reading this book. So it was sort of like, I'm reading Go Away. And I finished the whole thing and it was like, I think I missed two things. So we won't give it away, but I'll definitely tell you that this book is really a great read and I'll be anxious to see the next one.
Well, thank you so much. I'm excited to, really excited about the series and continuing to get it out in the world. So, yes.
Absolutely. Well, Michelle, can you share with the listeners how to find out more information about you? That would be wonderful.
Yes. So, mpwnovels.com, and you can see a link to my books and my blog posts. And then, like I talked about, Riley Longhill, that's my fictional alter ego that does ghost hunting. Think Bridget Jones becomes a ghost hunter. All of that is on also on mpwnovels.com.
Well, it was such a pleasure to have you with us, and we'll look forward to having you back on with your next book because I love to read your books and I love to share them. So I think we'll have you back on, yes?
Yes, I would love it. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Well, if you'd like to find out more information about Michelle Pariza-Wasik, again, her book is It Began with a Lie, a Secrets of Redemption novel, please do click on the link on the bottom of today's show page and you go directly to her website. And please do check out her other books also that she has on Amazon. It really is a great read. Don't be freaked out by the big size. I was kind of freaked out by the big size, but she has big print and I was good to go. And I could see it and I was good and I just kind of kept reading it and reading it. And it was like, people go away. I want to read this story. And draws you in. It's really a great, wonderful novel. So thank you so much for joining us today. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher. Until tomorrow, have a great day.
Today we discussed many life-changing concepts. Who do you turn to and how do you know what is best when faced with a health crisis? Dr. Jeanette is a patient advocate. She listens to the patient, the doctors, and the family, clarifies the health issues and concerns, then helps the patient make the best choices going forward. If you would like help implementing change into your life and health, we can talk and see where you are stuck and how to improve the quality of your life. Check the link on the bottom of today's show page or visit drjeanettegallagher.com to schedule a phone appointment today.